get a couch.
Did we hear from Councilmember Davis that nothing here this evening? Okay.
Traffic is closed on Hutchinson too, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's stuck.
Wouldn't be surprised. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for January 17, 2017. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And Councilmember Davis did not indicate that he would not be here this evening. We'll go ahead and mark for the record when he comes in of his arrival. Councilmember Scarborough, will you please call, lead us in the roll in the pledge?
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our first item on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet, and public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The sign-in sheet does not have anybody who has signed in to speak. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Ms. Smith, will you please read the ordinance in, which is agenda item 17-009.
Yes, thank you. Approved
thank you.
Through the consent agenda is ordinance number 001-2017, updating and clarifying the city's commute trip reduction regulations by amending Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 18.88, commute trip reduction, CTR, to ensure consistency with the state CTR plan of 2015 to 2019 and applicable community transit goals and targets.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 17010, discussion term limits, potential amendments.
Mayor.
Yes.
Since Mr. Davis isn't here, I'm just going to sign for the record. Thank you.
Oh, you're signing the bills. Thank you very much, Councilmember Camp. All right. Thank you, Councilmember Camp. All right. We were asked to, staff was directed to bring back for discussion the issue of term limits. The presenters on this are Councilmembers Hanford and Kemp. Councilmember Hanford, Kemp?
Sure.
Councilmember Hanford, go ahead.
Thank you. One of the concerns, if you back up, sorry, I'm fighting for it here, so if you back up to when we originally talked about this, I believe it was, I think Ed wasn't here and maybe Jake Mendick wasn't here.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong. And we went over the term limits and was presented to us. We talked about the pros and the cons as a discussion, and that feeling that I got when we finished our discussion was that some of us could care less and some of us wanted to see them ended. And I think Jim, you're the only one that really wanted for sure to have them stay. I wanted to have them stay, except I was open to hearing from the public to get their opinion, because we did ask for an advisory vote. We took the advisory vote, and then we as council went in and made that ordinance. So I was interested to hear back from the public, and that's so we did that. Ran the articles, we had public hearings, we received a couple of emails, literally a handful of emails.
Five.
Saying that they wanted to keep the term limits. And if you remember at the end of the night, remember we deliberated this for quite a while. going back to when we first had discussion. And the name of our sales lady for the land.
Jane.
Jane, right.
If you remember, she sat here through the whole thing. And she said, just so you know, and she has no... She has no dog in the fight whatsoever. Just so you know, I think that you guys are doing an incredible job. You've done your due diligence as far as... It's not like you're just acting on your own. It was really a compliment, I thought, at the end of the evening. So then we had the public hearings, we got the 5 emails, we got roughly the same amount of people coming forward saying we should keep them as we did, get rid of them. And so then, was it last month when this was on the agenda last time? I think I was sick or I was gone or something, I don't remember what happened, but I wasn't there. And I listened to the audio, and from the audio it sounds like there was still a lot of, I don't know, what should we do? And so I asked for you to drop back because, so that we can talk about it some more and then make some decisions. I would tell you, when I saw this on the ballot when I voted, I immediately thought, and I think we've talked about this, but I immediately thought of the federal people that are in there for life, and yeah, we don't want people on council for life getting, doing that forever, and so I voted, yep, I'm voting for 2 term limits. I checked the box. It made the line. But that was not my, knowing now what I know now, that was just that's my opinion of what should happen at the time. Now that I'm knowledgeable and I've been up here for several years and I know how the process works, I really don't see the need for that. One of the things that was talked about was no other city has term limits. So why do we have term limits? Because we took some advisory vote and then we as council, and I believe I was up here on council that passed the term limit, thought, yep, that's a good idea, we shouldn't have. And now that I know really the stakes and what's at stake, it doesn't make sense to me. So I'm going to move. Obviously, we're going to have more discussion, but I probably should have moved something to get discussion.
Councilmember Hanford, just a second. Just a point of order. If he's going to move something, since this is discussion, will he need to move to place an action on the agenda? Okay. Okay, so is there, you would first need to make a motion to add the action that you're considering to the agenda.
Okay. Lee,
sure.
Okay, I have a discussion, and before you make the motion, I'm just thinking if we're going to have this discussion today, depending on what we want to move forward with, we could come up with something to be placed on the agenda for next week. That way we wouldn't have to go through the procedural step of doing it. So I don't know how the discussion's going to go, but I just want, there's a couple points that I want to make, and then we can do as we
do. Well, I'd rather just get this motion on the table. I mean, I'm not feeling good, and the whole reason I'm here is because I'm the one that said, hey, we should bring this back. Otherwise, I'd just be home.
Is there a motion to get Councilmember Hanford some DayQuil? Sorry.
To add this to the agenda, to the action item.
Okay, and what are you?
An action item.
Okay. So do I understand that you are moving to add
term limits to the action, to as an action item?
Mr. Lowe?
Just very quickly, Council, for purposes of clarification, is there an actual ordinance, a form of ordinance that you're seeking to add to the agenda? Do you have that document with you to circulate to the Council?
I believe it's
second page.
It is one in the packet.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So is that attachment two?
No.
Just for clarity of the record.
If I'm understanding the council member, it would be the ordinance in the packet that is ordinance number XXX/2017. So it would be a 2017 ordinance, and whatever the number would be, Madam Clerk, you could instruct us on that. Is that helpful?
That's what you want me to say?
Well, that's the one that eliminates the term limits.
I'm looking for the number here.
Okay, so is this the ordinance right here?
Yep.
Exactly. Okay.
Point of order, the ordinance, believe that Councilmember Hanford requested be in the packet, is in the packet material.
Yeah.
And at this point in numbering, we would be at ordinance 003, 2017.
Okay. So I'm going to get up for a second just to make certain I'm going to get this over to Councilmember Hanford. This is the ordinance, correct?
Is that attachment three he's talking about?
Councilor Hanford.
This is another one that says 17.
Your motion would be to add this agenda for consideration. So you just go ahead and say, I'm going to add and then move it into the agenda. And I'll, if you could pass that back over here, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. I move to add ordinance number 003, 2017, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date to the agenda, as an agenda action item on the agenda.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback to add the ordinance that he just read in onto the agenda as an action item. Any discussion?
I caught that.
Any discussion on the item, on the motion? Are the lights here for this? Okay, Councilmember Scarborough.
So this is going to eliminate term limits, period.
Okay, to be clear, the motion on the floor right now is just to put it on the agenda so that a motion can be made. Correct.
Okay, what happened to our discussion about going from 8 to 12 years?
He's made a motion right now, so right now is a time for deliberation on the motion to add it to the agenda.
So the motion now is just to add this to an agenda?
Add this to
not
this
to,
evening's agenda.
Not to see that this and
yes, to add.
Okay. Councilmember Camp, do you have any items? I can hold your light also.
I'm trying to think. My intent is the discussion. And that's fine. We'll go ahead with this one.
All right. Is there any other discussion on the motion to add this to the agenda this evening for consideration of action? Councilmember Rasmussen.
You know, I'll just point out that part of the reason for bringing it back was the fact that we didn't have full council here, and you know, that we don't have full council tonight. So, I mean, I'm definitely open to the discussion, having it come back and take action without the full council here tonight. I mean, it seems kind of counterintuitive to why it came back to be on tonight. So. Just making a point.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay. Motion on the floor is to add the ordinance that Councilmember Hanford read into the record onto the agenda for council to consider taking action. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So the ayes are 4, the nays are 2, with Councilmember Rasmussen and Camp voting against. It is now added to the agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
Okay, so I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 021, actually be 003, 2017, repealing Monroe Municipal Code, Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials deriving for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to adopt the previously mentioned ordinance.
I believe the motion was to accept this first reading.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry, to accept this first reading.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Okay, discussion on the item. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. 76% of the people voted in favor of term limits and basically left it up to us to determine how they wanted to do it. I start comparing this to the ethics ordinance that we put in place a long time ago. 0% of the people voted for it. However, it was of such a great desire by the people, we recognized the significance of it and put it in place. Having said that, it was also unwieldy, difficult to enforce, and needed to be changed. So we moved forward, and I remember Councilman Ruth sitting up here describing in great detail the amount of changes they were putting in place for the ethics ordinance. Eventually, I think we ended up with basically what the state has. That's why I propose we bring the county term limit model back here for the changes we need here. Like I said, 76% of the people voted for this. They voted for term limits. And now we're telling them, because of some meetings that occurred during a holiday season, that their opinion is not valid. It's not important. And we don't have to listen to them. I don't agree with that. I think the vote we had last month hit the nail. We need to address the fact that the people wanted to have term limits. They were leaving it up to us to determine how it was going to be implemented. And I think we should move forward with that. Taking it away, the people I spoke to, and maybe we only got five emails, but the people I spoke to said, without exception, they were against the term limits going away. They didn't have a problem with modification to make it less unwieldy and more capable of including events like the 2 to 4 year conversion. Having said that, I do not think this is a good idea. I would like to see the modification, and in addition, I would like to have a roll call vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I agree with Councilmember Camp. I agree that the people said we want limits, and now we're just saying, never mind, we're not going to pay attention. I'm for changing the limits that we talked about to come into the 12-year mark that we talked a few weeks ago that we talked about. I'm not against doing away with term limits if the people, again, have a vote and say, okay with us if that's the way you want to do it. I understand there are the pros and cons on both. I know we're not a federal level bunch of people, but some of the same thoughts apply in my mind that the people think of us when they think of not having term limits, having people who stay too long. I also know that just having been on here a year, I can see that there's corporate knowledge needed in order to do a good job sitting up here. You need to have more than just a few years to figure out how things work and just learn to do the job. So I voted to let it go forward, but I'm still in the vein I just spoke to when it comes to a vote to make good action.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So I remember that night, and you're right, we did debate into quite a long time on it, and I was that one that said, I really don't care. I think that's, you were quoting me. And it may sound, you know, bad, but it's not. The reason why I say that is, to me, whether you have term limits or not, we have a vote every 4 years, and it's a term limit of itself. So what I said that night, and I'll say again tonight, I find it ironic that we would actually put something in place that would take away an option for our citizens to actually vote on a candidate of their choice. That's what you do by putting term limits in. I also agree that, you know, from a, I mean, I remember reading that when I voted, and I read it, and I was like, shoot, yeah, I'd vote for that, too, the way it sounds. And I was, you know, from the standpoint of a federal, I mean, what are we, the idea behind term limits, I think it's noble. We want to have fresh ideas. We want people here. And we want that change. You don't want people to get, you know, in somebody's pocket, you know, special interest groups, all that kind of stuff. Well, you can audit my campaign. I did my own financing for my deal and didn't spend a ton of money, so there's no one, you know, in my pocket. And I know everyone up here, there's no one in your pocket. You know, you're not in anybody's pocket by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, that's a unique, you know, federal type concern and, you know, a larger type deal. So I find it interesting because it's one of those things that I think is a feel good, you know, term limits, I think, but from a local jurisdiction, I just don't know what it gains us. Because I do know the research and the data. I know the 75% approval rate, but I also know that we ran an advisory vote around, you know, all the speed limits should be changed to 45 miles an hour. They probably always say it's a great thing, and, you know, the chief would say it's not a great thing.
Yeah.
So there's that side. This one to me just feels like, the comment was made was we're taking something away. I don't see it as taking anything away. I mean, you're everybody up here, if you want to run again, that's your desire. That's a term limit opportunity right there that you're going to be, you know, going through for getting reelected. Putting term limits in, you just basically eliminate the, if you've got someone like, whether it's a Jeff or a Kevin or Kirk or Patsy or Mr. Camp that wants to run again, and you have constituents that want to support you, giving the citizens the right to be able to vote for you or not. It's as simple as that to me. So I am fine with no term limits. I'm fine if, you know, you decide collectively to go, hey, we have to have something put in three in. I mean, but I don't see the purpose even, you know, in that. So I would be supportive of repealing all out.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, so when we spoke about this last time and voted the way we did, I made the comment that, you know, I just haven't heard the comments to convince me one way or another. And, you know, when this was asked to be brought back, I kind of like, discussing it again. And like other things, it's not going away. I thought, you know, this is great. You know, more time for people to comment about it. Because, I mean, if you remember some of the comments that we were getting, you know, it was even people that were on both sides of it, you know, made comments about how short of a window we are giving in these public hearings for people to comment about it. Okay? So now we got more time. And, you know, if you're like me, you know, got one email in between that time about it, you know, made a couple conversations. So, you know, I'm still kind of in that same boat. I mean, there's nothing that, you know, I've seen or heard that is compelling enough to, you know, convince me that it should be changed. You know, the 2-year term to the 4-year term, I mean, made absolute sense, puts us consistent with state law, absolutely makes complete sense. You know, no qualms about that. But, you know, the term limits, you know, it's, I'm indifferent. And so, you know, I look at this and, you know, I agree. You know, someone wants to vote for someone, they will. They've proven that without term limits. You know, I've not seen or heard from anyone who's been affected by term limits come speak saying, man, if those weren't there, you know, I can continue serving. Yeah, I've not heard of that. And so then I just came back to the vote, and, you know, I wasn't up here when this was discussed, you know, I was, by the sounds of it, like many of you, saw it on the ballot, read through it, you know, made the decision. Yeah, that sounds good. You know, but you know, I keep coming back to the that vote and the amount of people that did take the time to vote on it. And you know, prior to coming to council, I there were a couple of cases I asked the council and the mayor at the time about putting an advisory vote out there, and in one case, essentially got laughed out of the office. And so I see how sacred these advisory votes can be. And you know, I look at this and think again, 76% people voted on this. And to me, it, just to you know, repeal what they wanted is kind of a slap in the face to them. You know, if we are going to change this, I really think it needs to come back to the voters and let them have the true say in it. I mean, the citizens voted to have this. And you know, it to me it seems fitting to give them the opportunity to change it if they want. You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't. I mean, but to me, that's if it's going to get changed, that's the one thing at least at this point that would be compelling to for me to decide whether or not to change it.
Thank you, Councilmember Cutterback.
So I believe everybody up here has heard my argument or knows how I feel about this. I agree with Councilmember Gamble that elections are term limits. There's a reason that a lot of not of cities have term limits because it is a barrier to participation. So I think that's something to remember. And then reminding, it is an advisory vote. That's a vote that's just supposed to advise us on taking action. Not the golden rule. It's not what we have to do. It's supposed to give us a piece of information that we use to make a decision. It's a piece. The other pieces were out there. We don't have an issue with entrenchment. There's been no council member that has sat up here or seven that have never been removed. We've had turnover. We've had incumbents get beat. There's been, you know, there's no big lobby, no big money. Really appreciated Bridget Tuttle's comments about council members up here live in their community. They don't lose contact with people. We're not out of touch like people that go to Washington. That's one of the reasons why people want term limits for federal public officials, because they lose touch times. They're gone a lot. We don't have that here. I believe we've had enough time on this. I was on council also when this came forward. It didn't come forward as initiative, people coming down to City Hall demanding an ethics ordinance. It came from one council member bringing it forward. And we debated. We didn't put it on the ballot as a vote. And we did agree to put it on an advisory vote, which was a tie that was broken by the mayor at the time to put it on as an advisory vote. So it was contentious even to deal with it then. And, you know, I hear council members up here say, you know, I really don't care. Well, then look at all the information and make a judgment. We are elected to look at all the information and make a decision for people. People have, in the advisory vote, 76%, keeps bringing that up, 76% of 3,000 people that voted. You know, I've heard council members say, well, the will of the people, we can't change it because that's what the people want. What about I-502? Where's that argument? 9 out of 12 precincts voted to legalize marijuana in our community. And I didn't vote for that here. I've continued to look at ways to not have that in our community because I believe that's the right decision to do. I believe we have more information. How is this different? And this is an advisory vote, not even an initiative. So the will of the people argument that I've heard from council members is just not convincing to me. It wasn't brought by people. We didn't have people storming. We had 5 emails. We had 2 people show up to repeal term limits. We had 1 show up on the first public hearing not to. We had the next time, I think, 2 show up and say, you know, keep it in place, and we had 1 say don't. You know? So that's just 1 piece of the puzzle. The other piece is no entrenchment. It's a barrier to people running out of small city. We don't lose touch. There's other reasons to not touch. So I think it's important that we as councilmembers to look at all that information. And then again, last point, this will the people argument. I guess I call in the question, then I-502, where all 7 of us up here did not go forward with that. And so it seems like, it appears that people can pick or choose what will the people to follow. So that really makes no sense to me. And I understand, I heard from a couple council members who say, let's keep the term limits, who have personally sat up here and said, I'm not in favor of term limits. But because the will of the people voted to for it, but same council members voted not to follow through with I-502, even though that was the will of the people. So, I'm not in favor of term limits. I don't believe we've had the public outcry. I believe it was just an advisory vote that gave us some information, 1 piece that we can use in making a decision. There's other pieces that are just as important, if not more important to me, than the advisory vote in this case. So I will be voting for this motion.
Thank you. Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chamber at 7:28. The time right now is 7:31 on my clock. Councilmember Davis, there has been a motion and a second to add to the agenda this evening the ordinance that is entitled An Ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. So that has been added to the agenda. A motion then was made to accept as first reading the ordinance that I just read to you, and we are now in discussion regarding the motion to accept as first reading that ordinance. Are there any other, does anybody else have any other discussion on the topic? Councilmember Davis, do you have any questions as to what the motion is before the council?
Could you repeat the motion?
The motion was to accept as first reading an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 2.26, term limits for elected officials, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. To the maker of the motion and the second, did I get that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Councilmember Davis, or discussion to add? And this will be a roll call vote. Councilmember has requested that.
So it's a motion to repeal the standing.
To accept as first reading to repeal. Yes, sir.
Just as first reading. Okay.
And I consider that you have the floor at this point, sir.
I have no further questions. I just wanted to clarify it was to repeal. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. So seeing that there are no other buttons that have been pushed for discussion, we'll go ahead and move to vote. Again, this is to accept as first reading the ordinance that I read in previously, and this is a roll call vote. So rather than, so an aye will represent a motion in favor of, to accept as first reading, and a nay will be to not accept as first reading, and Ms. Smoot will go down the line. Ms. Smith?
Certainly. Council members.
You're an abstain.
Yeah. You have the ability to abstain, yes, sir. Okay. Ms. Smith.
Council member Scarborough.
Abstain.
Council member Cutback.
Aye.
Council member Hanford.
Aye.
Council member Rasmussen.
Nay.
Council member Davis.
Nay.
Council member Kim.
Nay.
And Councilmember Gamble.
Aye.
Okay. So there are three ayes, three noes, and one abstention. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the motion fails. All right. Next item on the agenda this evening is new business item number one. This is AB 17-011, Snohomish Health District, Rucker Building Financial Interest.
Mayor, members of the council, last month we received a letter that's in your packet from the Snohomish Health District letting us know that they have an interest in selling their building on Rucker Avenue in Everett, and that they had researched the history of the property and learned that while there's no record, Councilmember Rasmussen can correct anything I'm saying that's wrong, but while there is no record of any specific contribution by any municipality to assist in the purchase of the building, there is a ILA which discussed contributions from municipal governments to assist in that. There doesn't seem to be any record either at the county health district or here that indicates that a contribution was made, although the agreement specifies how much that payment would have been had a payment been made, and that's about $24,000. Their request is that we forego any potential financial interest that we may have had by a potential contribution, which may or may not have been contributed. I would also point out that the title to the building is solely in the name of the health district. There's no other indication of partial ownership by other jurisdictions. So the issue before you this evening is to discuss and provide direction to the staff regarding the Snohomish Health District Rucker Building and their request to relinquish any potential interest in the sale of the building.
Okay. Council. Councilmember Rasmussen, do you want to add anything as this is coming from the health district?
No, Mr. Mosley, that was actually pretty well spot on. I mean, the point that I would again reiterate is that we don't have any place on the Rucker Building title. It is definitely only in the health district, so as far as that we've been communicated at the Board of Health. And, you know, truthfully, we don't even know what our interest is. You know, potentially $24,000 is what City of Monroe paid in back in 95. But I know, just in speaking with them, Mr. Mosley has done substantial research. Gene, when he was here, did substantial research. And even Brad and Jacob have done research on this. And I'm sure, you know, I'm forgetting someone that has. And, you know, not to mention the health district staff that's done research on their end. And truthfully, there's no record of what was paid at the time or and how much and by who. How is that? I don't know either. So it would be very difficult for, in my opinion, if we wanted to stake a claim in it, it'd be very difficult to do that. And that's kind of the big thing. But yep. You know, any questions or thoughts, I would defer to Mr. Mosley, and I can certainly answer what I know from the health district side too.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question, because I thought in the packet it was clear that contributions were made, and that, I mean, they have it broken down, and there was an agreement, an ILA, and it was over a span of time. Mukilteo wasn't in it, but paid after. So I understand that the cities aren't listed on the legal title and all of that, and there's been there was maybe a verbal, from what I read in the packet, there was a verbal conversation saying, oh, well, if we sell this, you might get, but nothing was in paper, but there were definite contributions and...
That's unclear.
Okay.
It is true that there is a, is in your packet, an outline of what the jurisdictions would have paid in accordance with the ILA that was, whether or not in fact that ILA was ever implemented in terms of payment, and whether or not any, there's no record here in our finance department, and I'll ask Ms. Nelson to chime in if I'm wrong, but there's no record that we've been able to locate that indicates a payment was made. And as I understand it, there's no record at the health district that a payment was received. So, yes, there was an allocation of how much the payment would be in accordance with the interlocal agreement. What's unclear is that, in fact, any payment was ever made.
From any of the cities?
Correct.
And so how did they pay for the building? I mean, wasn't this an allocation from the cities to pay for a building?
The largest portion of, yeah. Even with the documentation that we have, in
yeah.
the over 70% of the payment was from the district. And the jurisdictional portion of it was like 28% or something like that. So exactly how that, you know, if they came up with the extra money or, you know, how that flowed out, there's no record to show that.
There's no record of exactly how much and where it came from, but it had to come from somewhere. So
for the payment of the building, correct.
Yeah. So.
Anything further, Councilmember Kennebec?
Not right this
time. Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, just reflecting on the conversations we've had at the health district. I mean, obviously it had to come from somewhere, and the majority of that purchase was done through the health district. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was 75%, 80% of the purchase price, and so then the cities and the county supplemented the rest of it. And then, if I remember right, they had the building paid off within 5 years. It comes back to that looming question as, you know, it's probably a safe assumption, and keyword assumption, that the city of Monroe and the other cities within Snohomish County paid the health district something, but, you know, what? I mean, we don't know if we did pay the 24,000 or contributed the 24,000. We could have only done 10. We don't know. That's the looming question, if anything.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So let me get this straight. 80% was paid by the district. We all agree that 20% came from the cities. But no one knows where that 20% of the money came from the cities. And they want all of us to just relinquish that 20% contribution.
Ms. Nelson.
My understanding is that in ILA, long ago the health district was trying to raise capital, and they formed an ILA with all other cities, and they asked for contributions of money, not for the building, but for contributions of money. And they, and all the cities contributed because they wanted to help form this health district. And so the district went out and bought the building, and there's no legal claim for us really to have on the building because there's no, our name, we've never declared it on our books as a joint venture. No city ever has. No city has ever claimed liability on their insurance. No city has ever been on the title or whatsoever. The district bought the building separately. but the ILA was just asking for contributions to the district.
But, I mean, if that were the case and there were no legal option or legal argument, they wouldn't be coming to us to basically pass this.
What I suspect their concern is, because the cities all did contribute through the ILA to help form everything, that they're worried that some city's going to come back and try to sue them once they sell the building and ask for their share of what they contributed. And that's why I think they're doing this right now, so that they can sell the building without worrying about any legal repercussions.
Yeah, I'm having heartburn that we all agree that we all contributed, but nowhere...
For the building, though.
I understand that, but what I'm hearing is we can't even prove that we put money towards the ILA.
I'm sure I could go back and see if we did. I'm pretty sure we probably did.
I would be interested in that. I mean, because basically what they're saying here in the document that I have is that we put $24,000 towards that. I heard up until this point was we have no proof that we actually ever paid. We can't prove that $24,000 was actually paid out.
I can dig through old records and see if I can find something.
I don't know. Something just doesn't sit right with me to just kind of say, is it still taxpayers' money that we're putting towards that investment? If there is even the remote possibility that, hey, there is a stake to the city of Monroe at $25,000 and appreciation, all that kind of stuff. It just doesn't seem like we're doing our due diligence to not at least check to see if we actually did put out that money towards the health district, and just to basically, I guess the part that I'm having trouble sitting with is that just trust us. That's how it comes across, but we can't prove it. I mean, that's just really hard for me to swallow.
Is it, so there is a possibility then, as Diane, that we did pay in, and okay, the other thing that was going through my mind was that I think the health district was structured differently back in the 90s, where wasn't it a portion of the motor vehicle excise tax or something that came to the city that then went back into the health district or something? I was wondering if maybe they had taken the money that we were sending their way under a previous financing option and taking off the top, so to speak, money toward the capital improvements. But we simply don't know. Okay. So I trust that there are other... So there are two policy questions here before you. One is it's a factual question. Can we do some more research to find the funds, to find receipts for the funds in 1990 through 95? Once you have that information, then there's going to be the policy choice. What do you want to do with that? You know, if the total liability is indeed $24,428 that could come back to the city, will you want to excuse that, so to speak, or would you want to have that $24,000 come back?
Well, I mean, it's not just the $24,000. It'd be the appreciative value of the $24,000, correct?
That's the percentage of the building.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's... me personally, I think I still have the form of the last...
You do. Okay. Yes, you do. Yeah.
I'm not going to vote on anything that says we're going to relinquish our, without knowing all the facts.
Right. Okay.
I can't do that. In good conscience, I can't do that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Diane, thank you for being willing to go back and look at that. Truly, it was under my understanding that... research has been exhausted, but if there's that potential, I personally want to know as well. In regards to the appreciation, one thing to keep in mind, council, because this kind of scenario was discussed, and then the health district staff as well, potentially, but think about this. Since 1995, when this was all going into play, health districts own that building, all the maintenance, per capita, improvements, everything in that building, they've covered those costs. They've not gone back out to the cities, which
you know, at the time was kind of the, had ownership or vested interest in that building and requested money for improvement. So, you know, essentially they haven't billed us for any of that or billed any of the cities for that. So just kind of weigh that in the back, or keep that in the back of your mind as we're going through and talking about this, that it could draw up other questions on whether we owe for that if we're going to push it. So.
Just to respond,
yeah.
I mean,
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I get, you know, your financial background in the banking industry. Essentially, if you're going in to get a loan, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to be doing the maintenance and all that on the facility, but you're still getting X percent on your loan for the amount of years that it takes for them to pay it back. Does that make sense? So yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know if I buy the argument that, well, hey, just we're just going to wash it away, because that wasn't the intention. It's a capital, you know, investment. So I don't know if I agree with that sentiment. That makes sense.
I see what you're saying. I do. But I'm bringing it up just because that's already come up in discussion with the board, amongst the board, mm-hmm. as, you know, possible argument from staff if we go that route. So.
All right. So without objection, my plan here is to have staff go back and locate the payments, number one, and then number two, determine the current value of the building and to bring what we find back to you as early as next week. I'm understanding there is a workshop on the 30th or so?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And so today is the 17th?
Plenty of time.
Yeah, that's plenty of time. Is that okay? Okay. All right, Mr. Welch.
Thank you, Council. Very briefly, I was just made aware of this issue today, but in conversations with Mr. Mosley and my own attempt to locate some of the historical documents, which I think really are the crux of this issue, to the extent that there is any entitlement that the city could claim legally, it's going to be based in some executed agreement or agreements or some transactional record that presumably existed at some point. The letter that the city apparently received from the health district in December purported to have a link that the city could use to access these historical documents, but my attempts, and I believe Mr. Mosley's attempts, to access those materials were unsuccessful. The message we received back was that the web page was unavailable. I think, again, those really are the critical materials that need to be reviewed here, and without looking at those documents, it's impossible to determine whether and to what extent the city should even purport to claim an interest in the money that's being referred to here, and it's really shooting in the dark without the benefit of that review, and that was all I wanted to add.
So staff will follow up also on making certain that we can get into the links. All right. Anything further, Council? All right. We'll have this added to the agenda for next week, the 24th.
Thanks.
And we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. All right, the next item on the agenda is new business item number 2. This is AB 17-012, authorized mayor to sign amendment number 1 to garbage recycling and yard debris collection contract. And the person that we have presenting is Mr. Mosley, and also we're going to have Republic come forward, Janet Pritchard come forward to add some comments as well. Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. This would be an amendment to the comprehensive garbage recyclable and yard debris collection contract with Republic. This was previously passed in November of 2016. A couple of issues have arisen from sending that contract for a review to Republic. One is we had inadvertently left out the omission of a yard waste extra item in the attachment A to the rates, and Republic pointed that out, and your council agenda this evening would correct that. Secondly, there, another proposed amendment was submitted by Republic that would allow for a temporary suspension of garbage service for, I think it's up to 4 weeks for the 12-month period if folks are out of town and not in the, they're not relinquishing their garbage contract and their garbage service, but it gives a kind of a pause in case you're going to be out of town for a few weeks to allow that. So the first item, the yard waste extra item, is a rate issue which needs to be corrected and changed, amended as indicated here. The second issue of the pause, if you will, in the contract in yard waste services is a staff has no objection to that. It's really a policy call for the council as to whether or not you want to offer that addition. And with that, I'd ask Ms. Pritchard if she has any comments she wanted to make on that.
If there's any questions, Jack.
All right, Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you for putting in that amendment about giving pause, because that was something I had brought up when we talked about the contract, was giving people an option if they didn't have garbage out there. And that's what residents asked for, so I appreciate you bringing that back. So with that, I'm going to make a motion, move to authorize the mayor to sign amendment number one to the comprehensive garbage, recycles, and yard debris collection contract with Rabanco Limited, DBA, Republic Services of Linwood, and expressly authorize further minor revisions that deemed necessary are appropriate.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Cutback, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action, Agenda Bill Number 17-012. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item number one. This is AB 17-013, Resolution Number 002-2017 regarding opposition to proposed marijuana retailer license 42190-7A. Chief, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and the other one also so that you can dispense with both of them at the same time. So also before you is, and you'll take separate actions on these, of course, is final action number two, AB 17014, Resolution Number 003-2017, regarding opposition to proposed marijuana retail license 422328-7A. Chief.
On January 11th, 2017, I received a notice of a marijuana license application from the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board for a new marijuana retailer application in City Monroe. The address was 17376 West Main Street, Suite C. And on January 9th, I received the same a similar application for marijuana retail application, and this one was at 41697 Chain Lake Road, Suite A. The resolutions would impasse authorize the mayor to express the city's opposition to the state's issuance of marijuana retail license and to also request a hearing in front of the board. It is, however, at the board's sole discretion as to whether or to grant the local government's request for a hearing. The resolution would also accompany the city's response to the Liquor and Cannabis Board. The Liquor and Cannabis Board determination whether or not to issue a state marijuana license is subject to various provisions. And one of the provisions is a minimum separation requirement between a state license, marijuana land use, and certain other specified land uses. On the accompanying page, you will see that, what these exceptions are.
Okay. And you want to go ahead and just give a very tight overview of the second agenda bill?
It's the same thing. I tried to include both.
Oh, perfect. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the other address. Sorry. Okay. So for the first agenda bill, 17-013, council, is there a motion? Councilmember Davis?
I'll move to approve resolution number 002-2017, authorizing and directing the mayor to notify the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board of the city's opposition to issue a marijuana license 421910-7A and to request an adjudication hearing before any final action on said license application is taken.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the requested action, agenda bill number 17-013. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. All right, going then to agenda bill number 17-014. Is there a motion?
Well, the people.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, I'll make it. Move to approve resolution number 003-2017 authorizing and directing the mayor to notify the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board to the city's opposition to issue the issuance of marijuana license 422328-7A and request an adjunctive hearing before any final action on said license application is taken.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action and agenda bill number 17-014. Discussion. Councilmember Gamble.
Oh, fine. I do have to reiterate what Councilmember Gutterback brought up earlier, because I am voting in the positive on on both of these initiatives, because even though the initiative that came forward did say that legalizing marijuana, we are going in regards to the sale of, so it doesn't prohibit that initiative that was voted on by the public. But that being said, there is a counter argument that would be made, is that hey, we voted, we wanted this to be legalized, so we should be able to buy it in our local jurisdiction as well. So I get that argument. But based off of the information that we have as council members and knowing what's in the best interest, based off of that extra information, and I firmly believe it, and it is the right thing to do, that's why I'm voting in the affirmative with both of these. So I just thought I would go on the record with that.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. And I agree with everything you just said. But I also feel that we need more information on the sales of marijuana, which I lack. So I will be meeting with a representative from the marijuana industry tomorrow and find out what I can. I think we should look at this more closely over the next year, look for better arguments and more direction from the people to find out what they want for their town.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, definitely did. I'm hearing the chatter, and ultimately what it comes down to is the conversation before, completely different than the conversation now. Two different animals, in my opinion. We've got something that, when we made the action 3 years ago, there was a health and safety factor. The previous conversation tonight, there wasn't that health and safety factor. Yeah, two different animals, in my opinion. So, I respect conversations and opinions, but two different items.
Thank you. Councilmember Kovac.
Have to chime in. two different issues. Yes, I agree with you. Same argument with you to support people's opinions. So, it's 9 out of 12 Monroe precincts voted for ISO 502. Will of the people. So get more information, want to hear more. That's what I find interesting in the argument. So I agree with Councilmember Gamble. I'm voting for this because I believe it's the right thing to do based on the information that we have. We did have a lot of people come forward after the initiative passed and say, we don't want this in Monroe. So there was a lot of public comment. Didn't happen with the chairman. So, non-issue. So, again, I respect everyone up here, and I respect the arguments and opinions. I just find this will the people argument for one thing and use for another, but have a flip, to be an interesting way to legislate. So, yeah.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
And the thing, the wrong thing is, this one is state law. We're going on an AG based off of the additional information we have. The other is an advisory vote, just to punctuate that.
Councilmember Kent?
You could ask for roll call vote or something.
I don't need to do that.
No, you don't need to.
That's a camp move.
Councilmember Kent, I understand that you're not requesting.
I am not requesting.
I believe it just takes one, and then we do a roll call.
You're absolutely correct.
Councilmember
Kent? I'll do a camp move. I'll call for a roll call vote.
All right. Roll call vote. Is there any other discussion on the motion before I call for the roll call vote? Okay, you can vote yes, no, or abstain.
And the motion is?
Ms. Smoot, will you please roll call vote?
I would be delighted. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
The motion is?
The motion is the requested action in Agenda Bill 8017-014. Would you like me to read the entirety of the motion, sir?
I'm for not letting them have a marijuana store. What's that, a yay?
So you're moving in favor, so it's an aye. Okay, thank you. Councilmember Cutabeck?
Aye.
Councilmember Hanford?
Aye.
Councilmember Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Kent?
At this time, aye.
Councilmember Gamble?
Aye.
Okay, by my count, it's 7-0. Motion passes. Thank you. All right, next item on the agenda this evening is final action, number three. This is AB 17-015, appoint Mayor Pro Tem and confirm appointment of Snohomish County Tomorrow representative. All right, Council, is there a nomination for Mayor Pro Tem? Councilmember Hanford.
I'll move to appoint Councilmember Gamble as Mayor Pro Tem for 2017.
Okay, so that's a motion.
Yeah.
You don't need a second. You just need a nomination.
Do I consider that a motion or a nomination? Are you nominating
him? Nomination.
Okay, there's a nomination. Are there any other nominations? Councilmember Scarborough.
Nominate Jeff Rasmussen.
All right. So we've got two nominations. To take action, the body needs to make a motion and there needs to be a second. Correct?
You both want
them. Just have to vote for them based on nominations.
Yes, if you see in the agenda bill, it actually gives you two options. If there was only one nominee, you could go straight to a vote to appoint that individual. However, if you have more than one nominee, you would go forward with an election via voice vote or roll call vote, where each council member casts their ballot for their preferred selection, and the nominee with the most votes is automatically appointed as Mayor Pro Tem for 2017.
All right. Let's just go down the line. Councilmember Gamble?
Councilmember Hanford, I appreciate the nomination, but if you would withdraw, I think Councilmember Rasmussen would do a fine job as Mayor Pro Tem.
I'm glad to withdraw my nomination.
Okay, so there's a nomination for Councilmember Rasmussen. Is there any opposition to Councilmember Rasmussen serving as Mayor Pro Tem? Okay, seeing none, Councilmember Rasmussen, congratulations.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem. Okay, the next item under the requested action is confirm and appoint Snohomish County Tomorrow Steering Committee. Councilmember Cutaback was appointed for the 2017 Snohomish County Tomorrow Steering Committee representative. Councilmember Cutaback, we just want to confirm that you want to serve for Snohomish County tomorrow.
So.
Fine, it's the will of the people.
What was that? Judgment.
Huh?
Yeah, he was saying it was the will of the people. I said I don't always go to that argument. Good judgment. Transit Board, what's going on with that? Are we having elections for that again?
The Community Transit Board, they only ask for us to give them a representative. I believe it's either 2 or 4 years. I think it might be 2. I believe you are still on unless
as involved in it.
They did not ask me to appoint or get a new representative.
Okay.
Certainly it would be up to council if you wanted to make that change, but Community Transit did not ask for someone, if that makes sense.
So Because I'm an alternate on that, and I think having a second year on that would be good. I've only participated when they needed me to show up at the meetings, to participate in the meetings, and so I'd like to stay on that. I'm not sure if I can make a really full commitment to both and do a decent job. So is there another council member? I know the meetings, it looked like, are 6 to 8 on last Wednesday of the month for this.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, I know. And if I'd be willing, is there a shared position? Do they allow just a representative, or does it have to be that person? Do you know?
You can. Originally, Kurt Gehring was my
backup.
Just for attendance purposes, you can go out to the website and get content if you just need that.
Right.
Attending the meeting is just as useful. Get an input and get Monroe input on it.
And for city committees, what am I on for that?
Same as last year.
The same.
Finance, HR.
Okay.
Every single committee.
Yeah, you're on all three.
Hey, Councilmember Cuddeback, if you'd like to look at your schedule and think about it,
I mean,
can certainly bring this back next week.
Okay. If we can bring it back next week, that would be ideal. I know that on the 25th I have a conflict, so if there's a meeting this month, I already have a conflict on my schedule, but it is something I could look at.
Okay.
Just want, if I'm going to make the commitment, be able to attend.
Great. Council members, just in the event that Councilmember Cuddeback is not able to make it again, she's going to community transit, which is a couple-hour meeting once per week in
on
South
Thursdays,
Edmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's somebody else that's able to attend, these meetings are very important. It's our opportunity to go and to be heard. Yeah, there's that networking component, but they're actually working on policy related to land use in Snohomish County. And as you know, land use is connected to transportation, economic development, all sorts of things. So I think this is an important position that we should have somebody at every month. Just in the event that Councilmember Cuddeback is not able to do it, Councilmembers, I'd ask you to take a look at your schedules and see if you can fit something in for a couple hours the last Wednesday of each month. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I know my schedule. The Wednesdays are just, they're difficult.
Yeah.
I have an existing meeting on Wednesdays for the Monroe Public School Foundation. It's a reoccurring. And we increase those frequencies leading up into the auction event. So it makes it difficult. And in addition, that is a church night. So I don't think we can make it happen.
Yeah.
I already know my schedule on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
I'll be glad to back her up. So when she can't make it, then I'll
go. Okay.
Until I get used to what it is. And then maybe I can do it instead.
Okay, so we'll wait for next week. Councilmember Cuddeback, unless you're comfortable proceeding now.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I have a backup, I think I looked at my schedule. I know I can't make the 25th of this month. If there is a meeting on that last Wednesday of the month for this month, I cannot make it.
Okay, so council members, could I have a motion to appoint Councilmember Cuddeback to serve as our representative to the Snohomish County Tomorrow Steering Committee, and to have Councilmember Scarborough serve as backup in the event that Councilmember Cuddeback is unable to serve?
So moved.
Okay, so I have a motion from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the motion that I just stated. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody.
Congratulations. Yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for your service.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gamble.
Just today, over the last week, it was a ton of fun. We had an exchange student in from Australia for a week and a half, and just reminds, you know, the pride that you have in your city when you have someone that comes in from out of town, and being able to take them around, and, you know, being able to go down and show them the Swiftbirds, and then you got somebody here from another country who's learning about the United States, and then to be able to give them a history, you know, a lesson about just geography and, you know, the Swiftbird, and to have that scope, because she asks, hey, what's that? And then be able to just launch into it. Hey, yeah, I know exactly what that is. But what a great what a great experience. The high school did a great job and setting up just a wonderful tours for them around, and great cultural experience for them, and we just definitely going to do it again. It was a ton of fun. So, and then we had a public school foundation meeting within the last week. I attended on last Wednesday, and we're in the full blown auction mode for the public school foundation. The auction is March 17th for calendars at St. Patty's Day. It's going to be at Xfinity Arena. Tickets are $60 per person. That covers, and basically the price of the ticket covers the meal, right? And then obviously the intent of that evening is to raise as much as we can for scholarships for kids out of the Monroe School District, Sky Valley. Everybody is included in that, and it's always a great event. Last year, as you guys probably remember, we broke a new record, around $100,000 more for scholarships, which is fantastic. We're hoping to even top that this year, hence the new venue where we can have more people attend at the Xfinity Arena. So please, it's on the website, the Public School Foundation Facebook. Go to the website and get your tables. And there's going to be there's always just some great, fantastic auction items to bid on. All kinds of Seahawks stuff, trips. It's good. And the Mannix dinner is always perfection afterward. And that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I just went.
Sorry.
Councilmember Gamble.
Is it Campbell or Gamble?
Gamble.
Thank you.
First off, everybody remember Brenton Huron?
Yeah.
He is finishing up 4 years college this spring.
And the cow outfit guy.
The cow outfit guy, right. And somehow our illustrious staff has convinced him that city planning is where he wants to go. So congratulations, everybody, on getting him to go over to the dark side. We'll be having him stop by. I talked to the mayor about it and Brad about helping him, giving him some advice on moving forward into his selected career, but I think that's pretty cool. He has such a good impression on you folks. Okay, so I did this. I tripped over somebody at a coffee shop the other day. It was very nice meeting your wife, Mike. I said I was going to bring this up. Mostly lights. Lights on the flag at the park for the Veterans Memorial. I can't even describe them as lights. I've got more wattage in my nightlight at home. We need something. And if we get an uplight, that'd be perfect. And you talked about some solar power options. But right now, there's this little glow stick on the top of the flagpole. It isn't good. So if we can get that addressed, I think it'd be good. Signs. We're looking at some of the signs that we have up, compete here, eat here, that thing. And I've had some requests from people about what about other activities, sing here, perform here. If there's a way, I don't know if we want to go and have outside groups help contribute to make signs and put them up, connected to things like that, or if the city wants to go ahead, I don't know how much, I can't remember how much the signs were, if we want to look into other things that we want to have advertised in that sign. I was thinking of perform here down by the thing would be good. That was an option. More lights. Again, this wasn't my idea, but lights around the lake. I talked to Mike a little bit, and I guess the idea is it would be kind of expensive, but Lake Tai is a gathering point, and it's also, it's becoming more mature. Bushes are becoming heavier. And there are people like me who go out there when they get off work, especially in the wintertime when it's dark, and we're walking around it. And then in the summertime, I've heard people say that people are out there at midnight walking around the lake. I'm concerned about security. I think it would make the area look really nice to have some kind of a lighting idea, perhaps even a holiday lighting scenario. I don't know. There's some ideas I'd like to see worked on. But again, I think the key would be security. It's becoming a more used lake, more mature lake, and I think we should look at something like that. The last thing, I think this is kind of cool. I saw this on Facebook, somebody was out using their metal detector, and they found a 1959 bicycle license, and it's got a number on it. I don't know if we have records back that far, but it would be kind of cool if we could find out who was assigned that license number. Now, I'm not asking for anybody to do any work or anything, but if anybody has any ideas about it, just something to think about. Pretty interesting week. Anyway, so I have a lot. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing here.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Attended the Blueberry Kelsey open house last Thursday at the library and saw some of the designs on that. That was nice. Be able to talk to Mayor Brad and Scott about those. So, you know, there was a couple people when I was there. I don't know. And through the night,
about 15.
So, do you know when we'll get an update on that?
Currently, the plan is to have an update next week on the extended agenda. Brad is out this week, so I'm just going to touch base with Mr. Mosley to make certain we're ready to present on that next week. I want to make certain that the Facebook comments that we received are also part of that. And so it'll either be this coming Tuesday or the following Tuesday.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. I look forward to that. And then I see the 191st open house is still being determined as far as location goes. Okay. Other than that, finally got out for an awesome bike ride, rode downtown, met up some friends for coffee, and just got to stroll through downtown finally on a gorgeous day that was clear and sunny. So it was just nice being down there.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Cutterback.
I like the idea of lights around Lake Tech. I think that would really be best. I know it'd be expensive and all of that, but I think it would really add value and start changing the look of that. So, another thing about Lake Tech, there's been, since it's been so cold, there's been people, kids out on the ice. And I know 911, I think, has been called a couple times. So anything the city can put on Facebook or just to warn kids. I talked to Vince today at Lake Tai, but kids were out there on the ice, and kids fell in, not in our community, but somewhere else a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and two boys fell in under ice. So I just think it's something we should pay attention to. I know it's getting warmer now, but if we have another freeze. And then I don't know if you guys remember Tyke Hansen, who came and spoke in December. I've known Tyke for a long time. Cal Hansen, he's been around a long, long time. And he brought up concerns on Main Street and Lewis, the lights with the crosswalks. He did say no one from the city has contacted him, and I think that night we said, hey, somebody will contact you.
Yeah, I'll follow up with staff.
And so I'd like to kind of look at that. Him and I were chatting today, and you know, it's dark, and some people don't use the flags, and with the cars parked at the sideway, it is kind of hard to see. So I know lighted crosswalks are incredibly expensive. We looked at that at one time. I think Brad ran some numbers, but I don't know if there's reflective pads. You can put just reflective pads on the crosswalk. So I don't know if we can look into that, just some kind of reflectors, so at least it gives a little bit more warning that there's a crosswalk there.
Okay. Well,
so he is expecting someone to get back to him, and he has concerns about that. And I know I wasn't here last week, but I was really sad to hear the passing of former mayor Donetta Walter, and I'm sure people spoke of it last week, but you know, she was someone I knew when I... Like, I got to know when I first came to the town and got involved in city politics. And, you know, the woman up here, she was a role model for that. And so I think, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing people remember her. So I hope the city can have a presence in that. And politics side, people agree, don't agree, but her work in the city and her legacy with helping with 522 and really getting that bridge built, and I never really understood all that she did until I got up here. So I think, you know, that's something I hope when that day comes, April 1st, we as a city can show our respect and support on that day. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
I talked to Brad about some of the other concerns that this gentleman had, and it was how far out in the lane of traffic some of our longer trucks stick. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Brad and I asked him for a schematic of that area so I could make my thoughts clear to him. And then at the presentation of the SWIFTs, I happened to be standing there, so I gave him my proposal because I thought I had seen an email that said that some people weren't happy with the amount of space that the handicap parking spot provided. So my suggestion to Brad was move over a half a space. Yeah, you're going to lose and give that handicap spot enough additional space as requested. That would put the vehicles between the stops, the pole stops, and then put down stops on the ground that would put vehicles a foot more off of the road. Yeah, they'd be a little into the sidewalk, only a foot, but that would take a foot out of the roadway. And he said that you'd made some sort of ruling on that because you didn't want bump stops on the ground. Second, my comment to him was that move the bump stops a foot more into the sidewalk and get the cars a foot out of the road. It's too expensive. But those were my suggestions on how to fix the problem of how narrow it is going down Main Street. I don't think moving the bump stop in a foot or vehicles in a foot closer in the sidewalk would impede the sidewalks all that much. So those were just my suggestions, and I don't know if they got any farther than the conversation, but in light of actually bringing it forward, that those people were concerned about that, and those of us that drive pretty good sized vehicles deal with it every time we go down through there. So anybody that goes down through there faster than about 10 or 15 miles an hour isn't being very smart, because they're going to get backed into it. But just if we want to look at a way to fix the problems, Scott, maybe those are something that we can consider. If it's a dollar figure, put a dollar figure to it and see if we want to do it. That's all.
Thank you. That was going out to staff. Mr. Worthen?
Sounds exciting.
Okay. Mr. Farrell?
Thank you, Mayor. Council. Just want to let you know that we received the Showmobile mobile stage unit. So,
yeah.
We were here down the yard. And we had an initial run through with our crew. It's pretty technical as far as, setting it up and that sort of thing. And we'll have a few more runs at that as far as some training for the crew so they can properly set it up, operate it, take it down, that sort of thing. And then we intend to utilize it at various events this upcoming season. A couple other things. On Monday, on the Martin Luther King holiday, I just want to let you know that Take the Next Step, they organized with a half dozen Boy Scouts a volunteer cleanup downtown. So they were around, people might have seen them, picking up litter and stuff around the downtown area. And then also want to let you know, the Boys and Girls Club, they have adopted Discover Park. And they had a volunteer project in November where they did pruning and cleaning up the area of Discover Park. They did another smaller one, and it's their teams, I believe, in the program that are doing this, adopting it, and are trying to hit it like once a month or once every month, every other month. And we're planning something later this month for another volunteer cleanup.
Thank you. When is the Lake Tai Master Plan going to get started?
This year, so probably, I think we're looking at probably putting an RFP out sometime at the end of February.
Okay. So some of the ideas that were brought up this evening, like the lights around Lake Tai, that sort of thing, would be something that would be appropriate to incorporate into that master plan process.
Yep. Tie it into the lights of the new turf fields, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So is that okay?
If we're making just some kind of review or
looking at it. I mean, if it's horribly expensive, we can't afford it. Fine, but I'd like to be able to go back to people and say, we looked at, we at least looked at it, and we have it.
Yep.
And we know this is going to be good. Yep. I think it would be really good.
So we'll go ahead and we'll make certain that that's part of the master planning process to identify what the cost would be of wrapping lights around there. I know a lot of people, I have been one of them in the past, that run around the lake. I'm sure Councilmember Rasmussen does too. And
it is
for a walk. But yeah, I understand the value of having lights there also. And I think the master planning process will allow us to prioritize costs and then build that into a, you know, an update to the CIP and whatnot. So, all right. All right, thank you. Oh, and we were talking about having a demonstration of how the transformer stage works. So for at some point in time when we're able to pull that out, we'll make certain we invite council so that you can get out there a little bit early and see it, see how it opens up and everything.
I just have this image in my head now, right?
Yeah, it's transformers.
Yes. Does it have that little emblem on the
front? I mean, we could add one. All right. Okay, right. Ms. Nelson.
Here you
go. Okay.
There we go.
Mr. Peterson.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Chief.
Nothing to see.
Okay. Great. Why don't you go ahead and update the council?
Thank you, Mayor. I spent most of the last week recovering from the flu, which I hope I didn't give any of you from my disturbance at the council meeting last week. Did attend a MAG meeting today. Kind of bittersweet to see Gene there representing a different jurisdiction. But at any rate, given my absence because of the flu, I don't have a lot to report.
Thank you. I, for one, see, tomorrow night we've got the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. Thursday night we've got Snohomish County Cities. Saturday morning I'll be doing coffee with the mayor. You all are welcome to come and join me. I can't assure you that many people will show up. Sometimes we have a half dozen or more people show up. Other times it's just me doing work. So it's going to be at the Pilot House.
At what?
The original Pilot House on Main Street. Jeff, and I forget his last name, he's got, he actually roasts coffee there. It's pretty cool. So okay. You're welcome to join me. I'll be there from 8 until 9:30. And I think that's it. We did receive a number of applications for the community development director position, and we'll be potentially interviewing a couple of folks as early as next week. And yeah, so things are moving along there. I think that's all that I have to report right now. Ms. Rosalie, you're going over the agenda for next week and also the extended agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. We have a fairly extensive consent agenda on a number of resolutions and other issues. We do have a discussion of the Blueberry Lane, Kelsey Street traffic revisions. I'll be checking with staff to make sure we do have sufficient time to provide that information to brief the council on that next Tuesday, but that's our current intent, is to be able to brief the council on that. And then there is a new business item to consider, the Mirabello Water System petition, which has been brought forward. So those are the agenda items for next Tuesday. And beyond that, we will not meet on the 31st. The 31st being the fifth Tuesday, so we will not meet on that date. Then we have several items on the 17th. As you can see there, some consent agenda items as well as some new business items. And we will not meet on the 17th because spouses would not appreciate lack of attention to them on Valentine's Day.
All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. On the 7th, the Finance and Human Resource Committee meeting, I'm on that committee, and I will be late, possibly missing the entire.
Okay.
In fact, it'd be best to plan it that way, we won't even make that meeting.
Okay, so we'll identify you as not being present on February 7th for either committee or for council. Is that correct?
I'll be here in time for council. It should be.
Okay, so understood. Councilmember Gamble.
With that in mind, Patsy, you going to be able to make it on the 7th? So we still have two of those.
Okay, cool.
I guess it would just be if there's any items that we have on the
phone. Check
with Gus, check with Ben.
I have nothing right now.
Gus?
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Nothing at this time? Anybody, anything from council that wants to look at or so that maybe?
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to cancel it now. We can cancel it if anything comes up.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Okay, sounds good. Do you have anything further, Mr. Mosley?
No.
All right, we do have a need for an executive session this evening.
Impact fee report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, impact fee report. Did you want to give a report on the impact fees? Or?
Oh, that's more of a housekeeping item. I'm required through municipal code to do an annual report on the status of the park impact fees. So I also include streets too, just so you have both of them. Basically, it just shows what the balance was at the beginning of the year, what we collected, what we spent, and what the balance left is. And where do we find? We have 6 years to spend the money. We're very good at spending it, so not an issue.
All right. We do have a need for an. Thank you. We do have a need for an executive session this evening. This is related to labor negotiations, person to RCW 42.30.140, subsection 4, subsection A. We will start with our executive session for Ben. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Okay. So we are now in executive session.
Mr. Mayor, do you
With potential for action to follow, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. Okay, we're back out of executive session. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening and thank you for your service.